AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
Tornado sirens have been going off the past few hours in parts of Louisiana and Mississippi. Severe weather moving through the Deep South. Heavy rain, maybe hail in some places. Emergency official Donna Sanderson is in Monroe County, Mississippi, and she says they've got an alert system to help residents.
But Monroe County provides a code red service, which is a weather service, and you put in your home address. And let's just say the tornado is coming to your address, you get an alert from Code Red, and it's free of charge for everyone in Monroe County.
She spoke to WCBI-TV in Mississippi. No reports of serious damage or deaths. It's on to the House now for the bill that would protect same-sex and interracial marriages. The Senate passed it yesterday. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, is gay, and she said this.
It's important to reflect on the tireless advocacy of many, in particularly in the LGBTQ community, who've been fighting for partnership recognition and marriage equality for literally decades.
The latest now on Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes' conviction in a plot to overturn the presidential election.
A Washington, D.C. jury convicted Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes of seditious conspiracy for a violent plot to overturn President Joe Biden's election. Rhodes was acquitted on two other conspiracy charges. Defense attorney Ed Tarpley.
We're grateful for the not guilty verdicts that were received. We're disappointed in the guilty verdict.
The case handed the Justice Department a major victory in its massive prosecution of the January 6, 2021 insurrection. Seditious conspiracy calls for up to 20 years behind bars. An appeal will be filed. Norman Hall, Washington.
Congress is moving fast to try to prevent a looming rail workers' strike. The House takes up a bill today. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. The bill codifying same-sex and interracial marriage protections will soon be voted on in Congress. Senator Tammy Baldwin is a strong advocate for the measure, which is expected to pass both the Senate and the House this week, with support from both parties. Conversations have gotten personal. Most senators have family members, friends, or staff who would be protected when the legislation is passed. Democratic and Republican senators recently added an amendment to address concerns from some about ensuring religious protections. Senator Ron Johnson has said he'll vote no on the bill and doesn't feel it's necessary to codify same-sex marriage protections. Democrats feel differently after Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. With Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion, the court should reconsider its previous due process precedents. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's a Wednesday morning, November 30th. Nice to have you along. Remember, whatever you're doing today, whether it's been a good morning already or a challenging one, whatever your mindset, take heart. You are still smarter than a couple of hundred chuckleheads over in Minnesota who had to be rescued off an ice floe already in the month of November. The Beltrami County Sheriff's Office in Minnesota up north said they had to rescue a couple hundred people who became trapped when an ice chunk broke free from the shoreline of Upper Red Lake. Just astounding that that was the case. Please be careful out there if you would be so kind. We're going to talk a little bit later about Judge Jennifer Doro's announcement coming later today that she's running for state Supreme Court. And wait till you find out what she has in common with Michelle Bachmann. So stick around for that. The U.S. men's soccer team will advance in the World Cup after defeating Iran 1-0, as they say, doing that on Tuesday, rather, and advancing to the round of 16 coming up later this week. They will play the Netherlands. You talk about sacrificing your body. The one goal for the Americans was scored by forward Christian Pulisic, who scored in the 38th minute, and he crashed into the Iranian goalkeeper after making that kick, and he was down for a long time. It looked like he took both a knee and potentially a cleat to a very sensitive region. U.S. Soccer Federation says Pulisic was diagnosed with a pelvic contusion. I've watched more than a few major league catchers receive a pelvic contusion when a ball slipped under the cup as it was coming toward them. Now imagine that with a cleat and a knee. Somehow, after a while, he managed to come back onto the pitch, but I'm sure he is not waking up pain-free this morning. But still, congratulations to the U.S. team for advancing and moving on to face the Netherlands later this week. In headlines closer to home, a federal judge has ordered Enbridge and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to come up with an emergency plan to prevent a potential spill from an aging oil pipeline that runs across the reservation. The Bad River Band went to federal court against Enbridge in 2019 to force the company to remove a section of their Line 5 pipeline, arguing that the 70-year-old line poses a risk to health and safety. The company agreed, and they are making plans to build a nearly $500 million pipeline that, instead of running through the reservation, would run around it. On Monday, U.S. District Judge William Conley said that the risk of a significant rupture in the old line exists and could cause catastrophic impacts to the Bad River watershed. If you've never seen the area, you would immediately understand the risk. Now, whoever 70 years ago with the Bad River Band and others. Whoever said okay to that, that wouldn't have happened today. And we've seen how sensitive that area is as it flows into Lake Superior. It is well past time to replace or remove the line, and plenty of people want to see that line removed. The judge, however, stopped short of that, citing the impact on regional economies. Line 5 carries 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids every day along 645 miles from Superior through northern Wisconsin and Michigan down into southern Ontario. An Enbridge spokesperson said the company is looking forward to meeting with the tribe. The judge said they need to meet and talk about installing emergency shutoff valves and developing a protocol for shutting down and purging the line by December 17th. So hopefully we've seen some action there that would reduce the risk to that area. It is something that's going to be, it's something that's being fought in Michigan as well. Michigan was the scene of a massive spill from that line a couple of years back. And again, while you can do the cleanup to a degree, the damage that is done in the meantime is stunning. And yet you have people, like the congressman for that area, Tom Tiffany, and others who are just complete and absolute apologists for the fossil fuels industry, under the guise of, well, we can't flip a switch to wind and solar tomorrow, so therefore we must always preserve the fossil fuel industry, as if we can't do a transition. That's what this country is doing right now. We're making the transition. We're creating the jobs in green energy sectors. We don't have to do that while continuing to subsidize and prop up an industry that, no, may not necessarily go away entirely, but we sure as heck can rely a lot less on them and stop putting money into those pockets and instead help ourselves and, yeah, to a degree, help the planet as well. Whatever your motivation, whether it's environmental, financial, economic, whatever the standpoint, we can do better, and we can do so either by replacing or removing or reducing the use of these pipelines across these sensitive areas of our state. Now, we'll talk about the race for state Supreme Court coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio.
Hey, Dom, how many palindromes can you name in 30 seconds?
Race car, mom, dad, reefer, refer, kayak, level. Did I say mom already?
You're forgetting one really important one.
Zero res.
Not only is it the coolest palindrome ever, it's also our favorite.
Right, I remember. Why is that again?
They advertise with us.
Zero res, my favorite palindrome.
And carpet cleaner. Get the best carpet cleaning ever. Schedule your carpet cleaning online at zeroresmedicine.com. Tell them the devils have consent you.
We're all looking for things to be a little easier in our lives, and efficiency and organization are keys to success. For more than 16 years, EasyOffice Products has been a high-quality local option for businesses, nonprofits, and home offices. Woman-owned and community-focused, EasyOP has everything you need to keep your office running smoothly. With great customer service and local delivery, the team at EasyOffice Products is here to serve you. Visit EZOP.com. That's the letters EZOP.com. Or call today, 608-310-4300, and tell them Devil Radio sent you.
Join me, Stephanie Miller, and the entire Sexy Liberal Resistance every morning from 8 to 11 for the Stephanie Miller Show right here on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. Listen live Monday through Friday on Devil Radio, Wisconsin's home for progressive news talk radio.
Weather brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic Clinics in Madison. Catch their Back Friday specials now. Buy a package of 6, 10, or 20 visits before the end of November and get bonus visits for free. Head to the Joint Chiropractic and start feeling better today.
Here's your Devil Radio forecast. Mainly cloudy today with highs around 28. West winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows dip down to about 16. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, highs level off around 36. Cloudy skies expected Friday. Decreasing clouds by Saturday. Upper 40s Friday. Upper 20s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
Here we are, the young contender. Scrappy, controversial, has an impressive reach. Devil Radio 92.7.
Yep, we're getting into that time of year where we get to play Vince Guaraldi once in a while, especially here in the northwestern part of the state where we received anywhere from 1 to 8 inches of snow, depending how close you were to the main track of what went through eastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin yesterday. And yet I'm not shoveling. I'm not shoveling this driveway because I hear that come Friday, it'll be about 41 degrees for a high. So I'm going to take my chances that, you know, by Friday, I can basically sweep a lot of what's there away. Here's hoping, because if I'm wrong, then the driveway ice is over and I'll never get back to blacktop again. But I'm going to give it a go.
That's a dangerous bet there.
Yeah. And trust me, I have lost that bet a couple of times. But yet here I am again, rolling the dice. Authorities in Montana said Tuesday that human remains found about 18 years ago have now been identified as those of a Wisconsin hitchhiker who left Wisconsin in 1976 to flee legal troubles. The sheriff's office in Montana says the remains of Rogers Lee Ellis were identified after an extensive investigation earlier this year using a private DNA lab. And so now that they have identified those remains as this Wisconsin person, they can turn to an investigation of finding out who killed him. Ellis was born in Wisconsin Rapids in 1954. And in December 1976, he was facing legal issues related to an arrest for marijuana possession. Isn't that, look how the times have changed. I mean, back then, marijuana possession was seen as such a crime, you would be willing to flee the state and end up being murdered for something that now we talk about finally, I would say, coming to our senses and legalizing in some way, shape, or form. But authorities then say he told his family he didn't want to go to jail. He started heading west. He had no further contact with his family. Authorities believe Ellis was hitchhiking and was killed by a traveling companion who left his body in Montana. His remains weren't discovered until June of 2004 when a hiker found a skull. And then search teams later found some other bones and determined that they all came from the same person. The DNA was put into a national index and no match was found until earlier this year. So now that they know who it was, they're asking anyone who might have known Ellis back in the 70s and who has information about his death to come forward. So just again, a sign of the changes in technology that enable us to do so much. We mentioned yesterday that Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro was looking at potentially running for state Supreme Court thanks to the notoriety she received in the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial over which she presided. We noted at the time that every other news outlet is going to frame her as Waukesha Christmas Parade Judge Jennifer Doro and be very complimentary of the way that she conducted that one trial. But that the way you conduct one trial is not indicative of how you would actually rule on a host of other matters if you were to become a state Supreme Court judge. And so we talked a bit yesterday about how if she were to join that race, you know, what that worldview would be. Since that time, since we visited yesterday, her husband began leaking to local media that an announcement was going to be coming today. And apparently that announcement has been made official that she's going to make an announcement later today and run for state Supreme Court, which would make her the second conservative in the race, along with former Justice Dan Kelly, who wants to get back on the court after he was unseated by progressive Jill Karofsky in 2020. And then there are two progressive judges in the race as well, one from Milwaukee County, one from Dane County. So Jennifer Doro would become the fourth candidate. But again, taking nothing away from how Doro handled the case, we mentioned yesterday how when she was appointed by Scott Walker back in 2011, She talked about the strong conservative values that would guide her as a judge. She quoted Antonin Scalia about, quote unquote, judicial restraint, which we now know is a ruse, and that how she cited the Lawrence v. Texas Supreme Court ruling as being especially egregious in her view, because back in 2003, the Supreme Court ruled Texas cannot make it a crime for a same-sex couple to engage in sexual contact. In fact, it was a 6-3 vote. Only Scalia, Clarence Thomas, and William Rehnquist agreed to uphold the homosexual conduct law. Well, we then pointed out that Jennifer Durrow had been trained at Regent University Law School, formerly known as Christian Broadcasting Network University, when it was founded by TV preacher Pat Robertson. And we talked about how Regent University bills itself as a center of Christian thought, equipping Christian leaders to change the world through conservative or through Christian legal thought and practice. I mentioned all that yesterday. I think we mentioned as well that Regent University also is where Dan Kelly went to law school. So there would now be two people trained at a school founded by a television preacher. Okay, maybe we knew all that. What I then learned later on, looking more into Regent University, is that they have something called the Pat Robertson School of Government, which in and of itself should raise a lot of red flags. Do you know who the dean is of the Pat Robertson School of Government at Regent University? It's Michelle Bachmann. The former Minnesota congresswoman is the current dean of the Pat Robertson School of Government. That's the institution where Jennifer Durrow chose to go to school. That's where Dan Kelly went to school. The two conservatives running to hold on to the right wing's very slim 5-4 majority on the state Supreme Court were trained in an online school founded by a TV evangelist with a theocratic worldview. So, yes, Jennifer Durrow is the Waukesha Christmas Parade judge, but voters need to be asked if a state Supreme Court seat should go to a momentary celebrity with a skewed education and a stated opposition to decriminalizing same-sex relationships, and went to a school that now has Michelle Bachmann as the dean. As it stands, assuming Durrow gets in, it would be Durrow and Dan Kelly, and the two progressives are Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz. All four of them would run in the primary on February 21st. And then the top two vote getters, whoever they are, progressive, conservative, two conservatives, two progressives, whoever the top two vote getters are, would face off in the general election on April 4th. So while the April 4th election is big, is very big, it is also important to note that we won't know who the choices are on April 4th until we find out who shows up to vote on February 21st. And it is highly possible, and there's no hyperbole here, it is highly possible that if nothing but conservative voters decide to show up for the February primary, then general election voters will have to choose between the two conservatives trained at Pat Robertson's online university. That would be the choice between Jennifer Durrow and Dan Kelly for a state Supreme Court seat, depending on, again, voter turnout for February 21st. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about this between now and then. A couple of stories on the Up North News website to tell you about. You'll find that at upnorthnewswi.com. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday. First we had Black Friday, there's Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, now Giving Tuesday. You can give anytime. You can shop anytime. But it's a nice hook upon which to base a story about where you can share your gifts, where you can make donations, and find a place near you that helps give back to the community. So if you go to our website, you'll find Giving Tuesday. Find a place to donate your time and money near you, a story that you can click on. And one more story put together by our Christina Lurie. The election results prove that Democratic or Republican, voters want more funding for public schools. The Democratic policy is popular, even in counties where Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes were not. And we base that, of course, upon the amount of school referenda that passed, that even in deeply red counties, there are voters who understand the value of their school system and want to make sure that it is properly funded. They're willing to kick in property taxes if they have to, but let's hope the message is being received by state legislators that, you know, they should be doing their part as well to fund the education of our children. Well, let's see. I am going to be reacting in real time pretty much to this story that I'm just seeing that was posted by the Associated Press. I thought that our media was past the point where we paint every Trump-supporting voter sitting in a diner in rural America as the quintessential American, because they're not. I mean, they're not even a majority. And again, that doesn't mean they're bad people, but it does mean we are seeing such an imbalance of coverage of rural voters and Trump supporters because we think it's novel. We think it's interesting. And so they're always getting coverage in the media, this biographical coverage about how they should, how they're the victims and how they should be better understood. And I thought we were past that. And instead, I'm seeing a long read posted to the AP late last night, which does exactly that. And it does it in St. Croix County in western Wisconsin. And it starts with a biographical piece on John Kraft, who was very big in the St. Croix County Republican Party until he had to step down because of rhetoric that he posted about essentially inferring that, you know, violence might be necessary to get the kind of government that he wants. He says he was misunderstood. That's what we always hear. But there are too many dead and maimed police officers from the Capitol Police to fool us about that. And yet here's the story that leads with how the word hope is stitched onto a throw pillow in the little hilltop farmhouse. Photographs of children and grandchildren speckle the walls. In the kitchen, an envelope is decorated with a hand-drawn heart. "Happy birthday, my love," it reads. John Kraft loves this place. He loves the quiet and the space. He loves that you can drive for miles without passing another car. But out there, out beyond the cornfields, to the little western Wisconsin towns turning into commuter suburbs, and to the cities growing even larger, out there, he says, is a country that many Americans wouldn't recognize. It's a dark place, dangerous, where freedom is under attack by a tyrannical government. Few officials can be trusted, and clans of neighbors might someday have to band together to protect one another. It's a country where the most basic beliefs in faith, family, and liberty are threatened. It's no longer left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, says Kraft. It's straight up good versus evil. And on the story goes. And we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break after I swallow hard and prepare to tell you more about the glowing profiles we are still giving to people who don't seem to have a problem with overthrowing democracy so that they can keep the kind of government that they want to have. We'll be back. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Congress is moving to prevent a looming rail workers' strike that would affect the transportation of food, gas, and other essential items. The House is expected to act first today after President Biden asked Congress to step in. He told reporters he is confident this will work out.
Mr. President, are you confident you can avoid a rail strike? And what's your
The bill lawmakers are considering would impose a compromise labor agreement brokered by the Biden administration. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says,
if you're passing a bill to force the rail workers to work, how strong is your economy?
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Bad weather in the deep south. Tornadoes have damaged some homes, and meteorologists say the threat of dangerous storms remains this morning near the Gulf Coast in Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit. Shirts designed to be worn. Untucked.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
The Wednesday morning, 7:33 here on Lake Wissota, where we got about 2 inches of snow, anywhere from 1 to 8 across the western edge of the state, including St. Croix County, with a story that we're talking about that was posted last night by reporter Tim Sullivan of the Associated Press. And if you're just joining us, you missed the start of a rant about how I thought we were past this whole notion of lionizing Trump-supporting voters as somehow the quintessential Americans. And yet this is a story that first begins with John Kraft, former chair of the St. Croix Republican Party, who had to step down after posting something that said, if you want peace, prepare for war, and some of the other shenanigans that some of our friends like Sarah Yacoub and others have pointed out over time. And yet this piece is helping us understand them, where they feel freedom is under attack from a tyrannical government, where few officials can be trusted. It reinforces every trope that's out there. It reinforces every conspiracy, whether the reporter means to or not. That's what profiles like this do. And I'm going to read a little bit more from it, because At some point, you're going to want to say, okay, are we turning the corner in this article where we're learning that what they believe in is either not true or is bigoted or is hypocritical to the Christian values that they claim to espouse? You'll have to read the whole thing to tell me if you see it in there. So Kraft knows how he sounds. The story continues. He's felt the contempt of people who see him as a fanatic and a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, they do see him that way. I don't know that that's the way I would have written it. But he's a hero in a growing right-wing conservative movement that has rocketed to prominence here in St. Croix County. Just a couple years ago, their talk of Marxism, government crackdowns, and secret plans to destroy family values would have put them at the far fringes of the Republican Party, but not anymore. Across the country, victories went to candidates who believe in QAnon and candidates who believe the separation of church and state is a fallacy. They are farmers, they are business analysts, they are stay-at-home moms, graphic designers, and insurance salesmen. They live in communities where crime is almost non-existent, and Cub Scouts hold $5 spaghetti lunch fundraisers at American Legion halls. And they live with something else. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes sadness. Every once in a while, it's fear. All of this can be hard to see, hidden behind the throw pillows and the gently rolling hills. But spend some time in this corner of Wisconsin. Have a drink or two in the small town bars. Sit with parents cheering kids at the country rodeo, county rodeo. Attend Sunday services. Try to see America through their eyes. No, I don't want to. I don't care to, because I've seen enough stories like this. I've read enough stories like this. And not nearly enough of them do what I've always said and what others have said journalists should be doing. It's not the journalist's job to say one person says it's raining, one person says it's sunny. It's the journalist's job to open the damn window and tell your readers if it's rainy or sunny. And stop with the false equivalence of, well, they're just misunderstood. No, they're not. We go on and talk about Mark Carlson, a friendly man who exudes gentleness, loves to cook, rarely leaves home without a pistol, and believes despotism looms over America. There's a plan to lead us from within towards socialism, Marxism, communism type of government, says Carlson, a St. Croix County board member who recently retired after 20 years working at a juvenile detention facility and is now a part-time Uber driver. He was swept into office earlier this year when insurgent right-wing conservatives created a powerful local voting bloc, energized by fury over COVID lockdowns, vaccination mandates, and the unrest that shook the country after George Floyd was murdered by a policeman in nearby Minneapolis. In early 2020, they took control of the St. Croix County Republican Party, driving away leaders they deride as pawns of a weak-kneed establishment, and helped put well over a dozen people in elected positions across the county. In their America, the U.S. government orchestrated COVID fears to cement its power. The IRS is buying up huge stocks of ammunition, and former President Barack Obama may be the country's most powerful person. But they are not caricatures, not even Carlson, a bearded, gun-owning white guy who voted for Trump. I'm just a normal person, he says, sitting on a sofa next to a picture window overlooking the large garden that he and his wife tend. They don't realize that we mean well. The writer goes on. He's a complicated man. While even he admits he might accurately be called a right-wing extremist, he calls peaceful black protesters righteous for taking to the streets after Floyd's murder. He doubts that there was fraud in the midterm elections. He drives a Tesla. He loves AC/DC and makes his own organic yogurt. In an area where Islam is sometimes viewed with open hostility, he's a conservative Christian who says he'd back the area's small Muslim community if they ever wanted to open a mosque here. Build your mosque, he says. Of course, that's the American way. He believes deeply, he says, that America doesn't need to be this bitterly divided. We can work together, he says. We don't have to hate each other. Repeatedly, he says, the county's other right-wing conservatives insist they don't want violence, but violence often seems to be looming as they talk. Hazy images of government thugs or Antifa rioters or health officers seizing children from their parents. On and on it goes. it is further, much further down, that we hear from somebody who works with the County Democratic Party, and still even further down when we learn that John Kraft had posted, you know, the language that kind of gives a nod toward espousing violence. But not till after we read about how Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is a political star with these folks, and how they get their news off the internet and right-wing podcasts and so forth. The doubts that they feel that Hillary Clinton, you know, got as many votes as she did. And honestly, just on and on it goes. Carlson ends the story by saying, "I pray that any overthrow will be at the ballot box," says Carlson, who seems genuinely pained at the idea of violence. "We don't want to use guns," he continues. "That would be just horrible." Well, thanks for that. You know, thanks for not slamming the door shut on the idea about violence. We don't want to use guns. You know what that sounds like? We don't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's settled law. We can't believe you anymore. And that's why maybe if you feel like a victim, if you feel like you're being overly examined, it's because enough of us have turned the other cheek long enough. And it's why we started places like Up North News and Courier Newsroom and Civic Media on this radio station and many others, is because we're tired of stories like this. We're tired of ceding ground in news stories that make everybody sitting in a diner as the only real American out there. Why are we always hearing that it's people in the cities that are out of touch with real America, when consistently Democrats and progressives win majorities in Wisconsin when you look statewide and nationwide, unless the congressional districts are gerrymandered, of course? Why are we not hearing the ways that rural voters and conservative voters could learn a thing or two if they would listen more closely to their progressive brethren? That's what we need from the Associated Press. Those are the kinds of news stories that we need to see if we're ever going to back away from the point where people are saying, "We don't want to use guns. That would be just horrible." Tom is on the line joining us now. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. First off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and that means all of us. And second, I am a proud FDR Democrat. That's who I am, and I'd hope that more Democrats would come forward and start speaking in those terms. What I would say is, first off, the AP News is the biggest joke on the planet. I about puked in my mouth this morning when you read this article. I'd love to know the exact source of it so I can warn other people about it as well. But this is just, I mean, this is disgusting. This sounds more like either a novel or an editorial, but this is what actually counts for news. I mean, where's the who, what, when, why, where of one-on-one journalism, of open-ended questions? That's what journalism is. It's not getting your opinion or putting a flowery type of thing that only divides the country. I'll tell you what, the people that he's talking about are people that don't have to worry about rent every month, or if they're even going to survive, living paycheck to paycheck. That guy that's living out there in the old wilderness, beautiful log cabin somewhere, you know, in the 1800s. He probably has his house all paid for. He's all these different things, and he is a terrorist. That's what he is. And that's what the article should say, he's a terrorist. The article should be asking him questions instead of trying to paint this rosy picture of what it is. They do the same thing on the top of the hour of the news and the bottom of the hour of the news. They'll say, "Oh, inflation was down this month, or gas prices were down this month, but you know what? Target had to take a hit on their profits because they lowered their prices for the people, but they took a hit on." It's like you said, it's both sidesism. But the thing is, when is the AP News, which is something some people out there only hear at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, going to start actually just reporting news rather than, you know, like this morning, they had McCarthy All they did was their stenographer for McCarthy. This is so ridiculous. And I don't know how we change the AP News or what, but they are the most, to me, they're as dangerous as the far right wing talking points you hear all day, because they are supposed to be a respected outlet.
Tom, thank you very much. And look, like I'll say frequently, I am more than happy to hold journalists to account. While at the same time, I'm going to note that I will refuse to paint with a broad brush. We have journalists that are absolutely masterful, great writers, great storytellers, dogged researchers, and I want to lift them up whenever possible. But this particular one seemed so egregious. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know this, but maybe there's another story that pairs with it. And maybe in the next Sunday newspaper, there are going to be two of these long reads. And maybe the other one will present more about, you know, the family that's just trying to make it in Eau Claire or Green Bay or Wausau, and yet can't understand why their school isn't doing well because, you know, so much attention is being paid to fiscal conservatives who want to eliminate their public school. Where's that story? Instead, we get this. The plans, if they are mentioned at all, are spoken of quietly, but sit in enough small town bars and you'll occasionally hear people talk about what they intend to do if things go really bad for America. There are solar panels if the grid fails. There's extra gasoline for cars, diesel for generators. There are shelves of non-perishable food, sometimes enough to last for months. There are guns, though that's almost never discussed with outsiders. I've got enough, says one man sitting in a Hudson coffee shop. There it is, the coffee shop mentioned. I'd rather not get into that with a reporter, says Kraft. The fears here are mostly about crime and civil unrest. People still talk about the 2020 protests. When they say you could stand in Hudson and see the distant glows of fires in Minneapolis, that frightened many people, and not just conservative Republicans. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Shut up. You did not see the glow of fires in Minneapolis. You know how I know that? Because I was born and raised in St. Paul, the city that sits in between Hudson and Minneapolis. The glow you saw was St. Paul. It wasn't the fires of Minneapolis. My God, the hyperbole involved here. And they can say that if they want to. But for this AP reporter to just do stenography and say that seeing those fires is what motivates them to maybe have to overthrow the government, I'm sorry, I have more respect for AP than Tom does, but this particular story, it just makes me nauseous. We're going to try to end on a much lighter note coming up in just 2 minutes. This is Up North News Radio.
Having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Our computer care plans are the perfect holiday gift. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Join me, Stephanie Miller, and the entire Sexy Liberal Resistance every morning from 8 to 11 for the Stephanie Miller Show right here on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. Listen live Monday through Friday on Devil Radio, Wisconsin's home for progressive news talk radio.
Weather brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic of Madison, where Back Friday is back now through the end of November. It's easy. Sign up for a package, get free bonus visits, and start feeling the way you want to. The Joint Chiropractic, convenient, affordable chiropractic care.
Here's your Devil Radio forecast. More clouds than sun today, with highs around 28. northwest winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour. Lows level off around 16 tonight, clear skies, highs around 36. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Cloudy skies expected Friday, with daytime highs approaching 50. 29 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
Stay informed with Progressive News and Talk on WTTN 1580 AM, Wisconsin's home for Devil Radio.
All right, let's try to change gears here, because I could talk to somebody like Todd Alba all day long about the AP article that we just spent the past 30 minutes on, but we don't need any more of that kind of talk. So Todd, maybe we'll save that for another time. I instead would like to talk about how to go deer hunting, not with a hunting dog or anything like that, but a hunting emu, if you're okay with that.
Wherever you want to go, Pat, I'm down.
This is Todd, who's on many of these stations from 8 to 11. How are you?
I am well, thank you for asking. I've been quarantining back in southwest Wisconsin because not only do we get stuffing and turkey at our house over Thanksgiving, but a little case of COVID as well. Mom's doing fine now, but I was exposed. So I quarantined in RC, tested after the 5 days for a couple of days. I'm negative, so I'm wearing my mask around the studio here, but I am back in as a negative COVID person so far.
Boy, look at you taking precautions, testing, wearing a mask.
It's astounding. I kind of believe in science, and I kind of think Dr. Fauci is okay.
I did not realize what a unicorn you were. So that's good on you. Thanksgiving good otherwise?
It was. How about yourself?
It was wonderful. Anytime awesome. I can get both daughters who are in different parts of the country to come under one roof with their kids, it's a wonderful thing. One of the things that we don't do as a family, but many others do, is they engage in deer hunting. And I'd seen this story from Fox 11 News in Green Bay out of Shawano County, where apparently he was hunting on family land, but there was apparently a game farm or something nearby. And while he's out deer hunting, sees a very giant bird. And Aaron, I think you've got a little clip from the Fox 11 report you're going to play for us.
I look behind me. There's a high fence deer farm behind me. And I looked over there and I saw something walking with two legs. I'm like, what in the world is that?
When Appleton native Asher Torbeck got a better look, he knew exactly what that two-legged creature was, walking on his family's land that he's hunted on for two decades.
It was kind of bizarre. I'm like, why did an emu just walk under my tree?
The next day, the emu found him again. But this time, so did a six-point buck.
And the emu stands up real quick, and the deer stops in his tracks, and now they're just looking at each other like, what in the world are you?
After about a 10-minute stare down, Torbeck says the deer turned, giving him an open shot.
I thought, who else in the world can say they shot a buck while an emu was running a distraction for him? So,
there you go.
That is fantastic. That might be my favorite news story of the day.
I mean, it's granted he now... I'm just wondering if this is a trend, because clearly the deer was, was not running away, because it was like, what the heck is this thing? And so maybe the folks, the from the neighboring property who had lost a couple of these emus and then got them back, I'm wondering if they might lease them out now as, because look, it's illegal to hunt with dogs, to go deer hunting with dogs, but maybe the statute doesn't specifically ban hunting with emus.
I bet it doesn't. And can't you just see, I mean, you were a former legislator. Can't you just see somebody, thinking, by God, we got to stop hunting with emus. I'm sponsoring a bill to knock this off right now.
Well, that's just it. I know, and you know from working in the Capitol as well, there are many things that you expect, but it's always the things that you don't expect to come up, and you react saying, I did not know there was a need for this, but constituents will bring you all kinds of material that may or may not be a good use of your time, shall we say.
Exactly. I hunted from the time I went out when I was 11 and started hunting with a gun after gun safety when I was 12, and hunted well into my late 30s, early 40s, when all the CWD stuff and then all the changes of, you know, earn a buck or shoot a buck. It just became very confusing. And my sister, dad, and I said, you know, we can get together and enjoy chili and have a beverage and not stand off and outside and freeze our rear ends off and not know what the heck we can shoot. So I haven't gone, I still bird hunt, but I haven't gone deer hunting in quite a while. But it's, I think what you said about your family getting together over the holidays, for a lot of families still, deer hunting weekend, opening weekend, that's as much of a family and ritual as Thanksgiving is, if not more in some places.
It is, because even for where there isn't hunting, there's like some other occasion, like here, right across the bridge is our local watering hole here, the Edge. And now they're known for the big craft show that they put on. And whether the exhibitors, whether their spouses are out hunting or not, this is their weekend, you know, to get together. And it is a cultural thing that's going to be cemented here. And while at the same time, we do know that hunting numbers are down as fewer people take it up. And I always want to try to find that balance between somebody who, while I don't hunt, I am very enthusiastically supportive of it. And while I am quite often very vocal about the need for gun safety measures to prevent mass shootings, I can't help but ridicule the people that say, oh, the government is coming for my hunting rifle. Right. You've worked in the Capitol. You worked for a Republican legislator. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see a bill from any Democrat that said, we want to confiscate people's hunting rifles? You can speak honestly now. You're not in the Capitol anymore,
Todd. I can say whatever I want, right? No, you're 100% right, Pat. That just... I've never seen a Democratic bill, sponsored bill, anywhere close to that. And anyway, you know it better than anybody else. These are just talking points to incite the base and to get people out to vote and to create the enemy, as Scott Jensen was famous for saying, people run against. And it's unfortunate because I don't know any Democrat in my 30 years in politics that said, I want to take people's hunting rifles away. No. You know, I mean, certainly... I don't think anybody needs to take their hunting rifle and walk up and down State Street. As you know, we had a shooting down here last night on State Street, not with a rifle, I don't think. But I mean, I'm really not for the, you know, open carry and of hunting rifles up and down the street. I think if you're going to have a rifle out there, you have to have a purpose for it, which is to hunt, you know.
I mean, that's what they're either, you know, used for hunting, or they're weapons of warfare, or law enforcement should have them. Right. And again, the thing I'm sure you and I would talk about endlessly is everything is about a matter of degree. Mm-hmm. Once you set aside the people that want guns everywhere and the people who say there should be zero guns at all, you know, somewhere there, I think we can find an arrangement that has a responsible set of laws on the books. And I often hear people say, why don't we just enforce the laws that are on the books right now? While I don't disagree with that, I also would say, I think we can probably toughen up a few of these things so that, you know, kids aren't getting assault weapons so readily. I think somewhere in the middle here, we can find ways to make things a little safer on our streets. And maybe we can rely more on emus instead of guns for our future hunting needs.
You have a new thing, Pat. You could do a whole tourism thing in northern Wisconsin, hunting with emus. And Shawnee, I mean, my dad lives in Shawnee County, and I'm from Richland County. Shawnee and Richland County always have the wackiest news stories.
They do. And it's just always fun to pass along one here and there. Todd Alba, thank you so much. Have a great show today.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
All right, you'll hear him 8 to 11 on some of these Civic Media stations. If he's not in yours, look up civicmedia.us and listen as a podcast. You should definitely do that. All right, that's it for me. Have a great day. Work hard, play hard. We'll see you back here come Thursday.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio Studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.